are living in the day, and friends, it means for us to be very careful and watchful, because we too may tumble around in the earth and get in that earthquake. We don't want to get into it. Let us not, as students of the Bible, too stumble around in the earth and do not know where we're going or what we believe. We've made a decision, brethren, once for all, to serve the Lord and Him only. You see, my kind friends, we who have dedicated our lives to the Lord, we're sanctified because the acceptance of our consecration. We accepted the truth and we loved the truth. Therefore, we can say with St. Paul, one thing I do, just the one thing, and that's to do the will of God. This was made because we learned we're not our own. You're not your own, you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies and spirits, which are His. I'm glad to know, friends, that we're not our own, that we belong to another. You're not your own. Christ Jesus is our head. Yes, friends, we've accepted Him, and He's the chief steward, isn't He? Jesus said He'd go into a far country and receive a kingdom unto Himself and return. He's the chief steward, and He's reckoning now with His stewards, you and I. This is the day that we live in, brethren. Very remarkable day, because the Lord is reckoning with us. Don't we believe that? Of course we do. Don't we believe that He returned? Yes, we do. If I do not believe that the Lord has returned and reckoning with me, then how could I be of the bride class? How could I ever expect to make my calling and election sure? It'd all be over with, or I didn't understand it. But you know, friends, we've dedicated our lives to the Lord. We made that decision that we'd be willing to walk in the steps of Jesus. Remember, Jesus said, "Ye shall drink of the cup that I shall drink of." That cup of joy commingled with sorrow. Yes, friends, we have taken the cup of salvation. And now let us constantly call upon the name of the Lord. That was your decision. That was my decision, to take the cup of salvation. Until Jesus said that ye shall be baptized with the baptism that I'm being baptized with. And you know, friends, there's something in connection with this that's really remarkable. That we shall be baptized with the baptism that Jesus was being baptized with. For 3.5 years, the baptizing of Jesus took place, from the River Jordan unto the cross, until the time when He said, "It is finished." And we're being baptized with the same kind of a baptism, from our consecration unto death, because we decided, as Joshua did, to do the Lord's will. Then, my dearly beloved, we can grow in grace and in knowledge with the Lord. That's pleasing to the Lord, isn't it? To grow in knowledge with Him, to become better and better and better acquainted with God. He's our Father. Don't you think we'd ought to become real well acquainted with our Father? Oh, an intimate relationship. To address the greatest being in the universe as our Father. Let us become real well acquainted with Him, regardless of other things. To know Him better, to grow in knowledge with God. Yes, to learn about His ways. They're not our ways. Not the ways of humanity. Not the ways of the old human nature called the old man. Oh, no. There's a danger of walking in those ways and become very self-important. My dear brother called that to mind this morning, didn't he? To be truly humble. The underlying principle of that divine government is humility. The underlying principle of the devil's empire has always been pride. Pride must be crushed. Completely crushed out of the earth. And all that are proud will go with it. I'm sure you believe that. And so you see, my dear friends, that we should grow in knowledge with God. Zechariah 3:7 tells us that if thou wilt walk in my ways, if thou wilt walk in whose ways? In the ways of some organization? No. In the ways of any leaders? No, no, man or woman. If thou wilt walk in my ways, then thou shalt judge my house. If thou wilt walk in my ways, then thou shalt judge my house, the prophet said of old. If thou wilt keep my charge, thou shalt judge my house. We have a charge to keep. The same charge that came upon the Lord Jesus when he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach good tidings of good to the meek. That same charge came upon every member of the body of Christ. Every member of the body of Christ that made that decision to do God's will. That same charge came upon you, came upon me. We're the feet members of the body of Christ. Are we happy about that? Let us be happy about it, friends, because the last members of the body of Christ, and they too are anointed, to preach good tidings of good. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, those are the ways of our Heavenly Father. Those are the ways of our Master. Those are the ways of consecration. The ways of humility. The ways of righteousness. And oh, how grand they are. Hasn't it been grand to walk in the steps of Jesus? Some of you a long time waiting for deliverance. It will come, brethren. Yes, it will come. It isn't very far off. The human family must decide too, but that's coming later on. The prophet Joel said, multitudes, multitudes, multitudes gathered in the valley of decision. There will I sit around about and judge all nations. In the valley of decision for the human race. Are you thankful with me this afternoon that you've already decided? Don't wait for the world. Ah, no. Make your decision and come over on the Lord's side. They're now being brought down into the valley of humility. And it'll be like a steamroller rolling over them and crushing them to the earth. And the Lord is going to give them 1,000 years to decide. In the valley of decision. That's another positive proof that the Lord is present, for he said he would sit round about and judge all nations. Ah, my kind friends, the most remarkable time in all history. Never was anything like it. You and I have the privilege, friends, of living down in this day, to watch these things come to pass. We'd ought to be the happiest people in all the earth, willing to tell others about this wonderful arrangement that God has made to bless all the nations and all the families of the earth. And you know, my kind friends, when Jesus told us this, that we would be baptized with the baptism that he was being baptized with, and we accepted because we decided to do God's will. That was character, wasn't it? Yes, friends, and the Lord is now crystallizing these characters. Reprint 5094 begins by saying, Son, give me thine heart. Give me thine heart, all of it. And let thine eyes observe my ways. How grand it was when we begin to observe God's ways. The ways of righteousness, the ways of truth, the ways of humility. We often decide on things, brethren, but we decide wrong. And I think it is often because we fear. We fear. You remember Jesus said in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, the 27th verse, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. My peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Therefore, let not your heart be troubled." Is it troubled? "Neither let it be afraid." I think often that's the reason we decide wrong. Not the right way. Fully doing God's will. Often we compromise a little. No, brethren, we cannot afford to compromise. Let us never compromise the truth either. You see, friends, sometimes we decide wrong and we don't have sufficient love. For perfect love casteth out fear. We often fear what might come to pass, and therefore we decide wrong. Perfect love casteth out fear. We have not the spirit of fear, St. Paul said, but of love and the spirit of a sound mind. And the Lord is watching that. We do not have a sound mind, do we? But we have the spirit of it. The spirit of a sound mind. Let us lose that spirit of the sound mind, and it will cast out fear. Then we'll be able to decide on all things that will be pleasing to the Lord. Romans 15:4-7. "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Where does it come from? The Scriptures, the Bible, the truth. Therefore, we are students of the Bible, to study the truth, to make it our own, so that we may have comfort and consolation of the Scriptures, that we might have that glorious hope and the fullness of it. Ah, as we often sing, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame," but we do. We do. We trust in some free, sweet frame that'll come along. "I dare not trust the sweetest frame. I don't care how sweet that frame may be." Look out. Be careful. "I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." We've learned that, and I pray that we've learned it well. My dearly beloved, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus. Why did Paul say this in writing to these brethren back there? Because of the oneness that would exist between them. They all decided on the same thing. They decided to carry out their covenant relationship with God. Yes, because of this oneness. And then Paul adds, and he said, "That ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God." One mind, the mind of Christ. and one mouth. How many minds? Brethren, the Lord is merely seeking for jewels. Everything else will be shaken out. The sifting and the sorting and the shaking and the separating has taken place. I see it everywhere, from coast to coast, friends. The Lord is seeking for jewels, jewels rare. Those that have the mind of Christ, and with one mouth, how many mouths? One mouth. Glorify God. Let us do it together, brethren. Let us magnify the name of the Lord together, the prophet said. Let us lift up the voice together. Hear it going through the air? Ah, yes, you'll say. I said to a brother in Seattle, Washington, about our broadcast in Luxembourg. Oh, brother, he said, you'll never get on that air. Get on the air in Luxembourg? Never. Well, I said, brother, we're on the air there now. Reaches all of England, Ireland, Poland, Germany, Spain. Some of it goes down to Africa and India, 50,000 watt station. Oh, he said, but you'll never get on the air. I said, why, brother? Well, I was stationed, he said, in Luxembourg for 2 solid years by the United States government. And he said, it's solid Catholic, you'll never get in. Ah, yes, the Lord can get in, can't he? The Lord not only is in Luxembourg, but he's in Italy, Monte Carlo, very near the Vatican, isn't it? This message is going everywhere, friends, and I hope that you see it. I hope, friends, that you too love it, because I believe it's the last trump. I believe, friends, it's the last message, and it's going to reach the entire earth. The time will come, my dearly beloved, I believe, when all of this will stop. Stop for a while, for a moment. Then the dark night in which the no man can work. Everyone will know it. You don't need to guess about it and say it's already passed, and I think it came at that date, and it came at that date. That's all nonsense, friends. Every man, woman, and child in the truth and out of the truth is going to know when that time comes. It's going to fold up things. Be the time for the overthrow of Satan's empire. And why? That he shall deceive the nations no more. But they're being badly deceived today, aren't they? But when that comes, they shall be deceived no more. Didn't we decide, friends, all together to lift up the voice? Didn't we decide, friends, with one mouth to glorify God? Why, of course we did. Let us continue. Let us continue in this marvelous and wonderful work, and the Lord will bless us. It is human-mindedness, friends, the mind of the flesh that causes fear and brings a snare. But the love of God, we are thankful for this, casteth out fear. Oh yes, we have many examples in the Bible how that men feared. I want to call to mind the one often the brethren call this to mind, Peter. Remember the time when Jesus was walking upon the sea? Yes, wouldn't you love to have been there? Could you visualize a nice bright moonlight night and hear gracefully Jesus walking upon the sea, and Peter in that ship with others? And when Peter saw it, I could see him stand up in the ship and buckle his fishing coat, looking at the Lord, waiting. What was he waiting for? The Lord to bid him to come. Finally, Peter cried out, Master, bid me to come And you remember the Lord said, come, Peter. And then, can you watch Peter getting out of that ship and beginning to walk on the water? But something took place, the billows, the waves. And then Peter began to sink. And when he began to sink, then Jesus reached out his hand and took a hold of Peter. And he lifted him up. And he said, oh, thou of little faith. You were coming all right, Peter. But he took his eyes off from Jesus. And he looked down into the water, and then he began to sink. He feared. He feared, didn't he? O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou fear? You were coming all right. Oh, how many lessons we have in the Bible on these things. And you know, my kind friends, if we have the spirit of a sound mind, we'll use it on every occasion. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. That's the peace of God. That's the peace that Jesus left with you. That's the peace that Jesus gave us, friends. That's perfect peace. And thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. You see, there must be something take place, friends. Our mind must be stayed, established upon the Lord. Our minds must be established upon the truth. We cannot waver. We cannot compromise the truth. That can't be pleasing to the Lord. If we compromise the truth, we're living in fear all the time. We have nothing to fear. God has given us the truth. Let us hold fast to the truth. And the perfect love connected with that truth will cast out fears. If our minds are stayed upon him, then our characters are fixed. Adam without character, brethren, or without experience with evil, could not and did not decide the right way. He decided wrong. He partook of the forbidden fruit. See that? Ah, but brethren, if thou wilt walk in my way, if Adam had taken this matter to the Lord, how different it would have been. But now what did it spell? It spelled disaster. Disaster, friends. He plunged the entire human family into death. And think how often, brethren, sisters too, take hold of things that involve so much. Don't do it, friends. Let us be willing to take the lowest room, as Jesus said, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, take not the highest room, but take the lowest room. But you know, it's so hard to do, because the great adversary is constantly deceiving. Every possible opportunity that he can, he'll deceive the Lord's people and put in their minds that they'd ought to exalt themselves. But Jesus says, take not the highest room, take the lowest room, back seat, way back there. Why do we have all the division in the truth? If you traveled with me, you'd see it. Because of exaltation, pride, haughty, high-minded spirit. Brethren, do not know their place in the body of Christ. Way back there, sit down. I can't do it. There's the mistake, friend. There's the mistake. I'm sure that we'll all know it. If we don't know it now, we're going to know it later on. Yes, I see it everywhere, and my dearly beloved, let us know our place at home as a wife and as a husband. Wives, submit yourselves, be in submission unto your husbands. And I do not think any wife will ever get in the kingdom until she learns that lesson and learns it well. And husbands, love your wives as your own self and your own body. And I don't think any of the husbands will get into the kingdom until they learn that lesson and learn it well. Do you? We've decided to do God's will, and here it is written for us. We have it. My kind friends, we have many lessons in the Bible, and these lessons are all reasonable. They're for our benefit, aren't they? It means a lack of character. We should develop the character likeness of Christ Jesus. Yes, brethren, and we can't do it if there's any pride in our hearts. Pride dies hard. There's one lesson in the Old Testament I'd like to call to mind, and I do it in the spirit of love, because I love you all. But there's an example, friends, that every student of the Bible ought to make their own and study it. Found in the 16th chapter of Numbers. You remember how the 250 princes rose up against Moses and Aaron? What did this rising mean? They failed to recognize our Heavenly Father's choice. Our Heavenly Father had chosen Moses and Aaron. Aaron to be the mouthpiece. Moses became the mediator. But here are 250 princes, and they were brilliant men. Scriptures say they were men of renown. Oh, yes, they were probably brighter than Aaron was, or Moses. Smart men, educated too. But they murmured. And when they murmured, who did they murmur against? God Almighty. They failed to recognize that God is the host. Jehovah is the host, friends. They failed to recognize this. And they went so far as they scolded Moses and Aaron. Moses said to them, you want to be the priest. And then Moses took this matter to the Lord. You remember, reread it, please do. He took this matter to the Lord, and the Lord told him what he would do. Bring them. Call them in, all of them. 250 princes, and let them bring their censers with them. Let them bring their light, their knowledge, and their wisdom. They knew more than Moses and Aaron did. They thought they did. We have the earth filled with men like that today. Friends, let us recognize God's choice, not man's choice or man's ability, but let us recognize God's choice in the matter, as they were asked to do back there. And because they wouldn't do it, what happened? You know what happened. The earth opened itself and swallowed them up, and their wives and their children and everything that appertaineth to them, and closed up. Goodbye. Why? There's my choice. God pointed to the house of Israel through Moses. There's Moses and Aaron. That's my choice. And brethren, I feel there's something like this going to take place. God's choice was that faithful and wise servant. And think of the princes in the earth today that are undermining the teachers of God's choice. I think they're playing with dynamite, don't you? Why don't they take this lesson? Pride, haughtiness, high-mindedness. Men of renown,
Ah, yes, they even band themselves together and undermine the teachings of our pastor. Unfortunately, one time, and perhaps it was a blessing to me, I was invited to a convention, and one stood up for 15 minutes. He used about 15 minutes to prove that Pastor Russell was wrong. Pastor Russell was wrong. And then finally he said, "Now if that man Russell was here, what would he say? Man of renown, carrying his own censer, trying to prove that Alpha and Omega did not mean the beginning and the ending, and it did not refer to the Lord Jesus, but it referred to our Heavenly Father." And no one in that audience believed it. Not what he had to say. I call this to mind, the danger of this thing. How the adversary overreaches men of renown. What a dangerous time we're living in. Most dangerous time in all history. There's a lesson. Tell us plainly of God's choice in the matter. These same brethren at one time believed in that faithful and wise servant. Let me ask you a question. What did you know or I know about the symbolic expressions in the Bible before we had the truth? Not a thing. Did you know anything about the seven horns, the seven vials, the seven churches, the seven thunders, the seven spirits, or the dragon, the beast, the image of the beast, lions and bears and sheep and goats, sun, moon and stars, hay, wood and stubble? What did you know about it before you embraced the truth? Not a thing. And when you asked the pastor back there, what did he say? He didn't know. It was a mystery. Where did you get all this? So you could rightly divide the word of truth from that faithful and wise servant, I'll be honest. Didn't you? Why, of course we did. You'll say yes, and then you must believe it. Then you must believe it. Then we must all believe it. And then let us not try to undermine it. It would be displeasing to God, because God worked in his heart and mind that we may have a knowledge of these symbolic expressions. Is that right? Brethren, you know it's right. Let me take you back to the prophet Isaiah. Remember in Isaiah, the sixth chapter, grand. The Lord said, "Whom will I send?" Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." Now, we did that. All of us did that. When the truth came to us, we decided on the Lord's side. Picturing by Moses coming down from the mountain. When he cried aloud, "Who's on the Lord's side?" How many decided to come on the Lord's side? Just a handful. How about all the rest? My dearly beloved, did you see what they had to do? Dancing around their own light and their own ideas, and they were naked, nude. Then Moses says, "Take that golden calf, grind it to powder, cast it in the fire, grind it to powder, and cast upon the waters." And those people had to drink that water, but just a few decided to come on the side of Moses. We decided the same way. Now let us remain on the side of Moses Christ. Oh, they too said, "That Moses is gone. He'll never come back. Gone 40 days and 40 nights. No, he'll never come back." And there he was up there all the time. In a sense, he was present all the time. And this all took place in the presence of Moses, didn't it? Brethren. And Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." And the Lord took a live coal of fire. Live. It wasn't dead. A live coal of fire. And put it upon his lips. And our lips are cleansed. Your lips are cleansed. He did that with us too. Ah, yes, and then the Lord was willing to send him because he had cleansed him. Now, friends, we said, I will go. What does that mean? I will do thy will. I've decided to do that. But you know, often we just get a little weary, maybe, in well-doing. Well, I'd like to say, oh, let George do it. No, that wouldn't be right. We should do our part, as our dear brother told us this morning, and do it in all humility. The meek will he guide in judgment. They're teachable. They're taught how to decide because they're meek. You can teach them. Just like Isaiah was, Moses too, was meek. And I want to call to mind the little Rebecca. Oh, what a story and what a blessing to the Lord's people. You remember when the time came and Eliezer said to Bethuel and Laban, Rebekah's brother and mother, can Rebekah go with me to become the bride of Isaac? They said, ask of her own mouth. And here comes Rebekah. Psychological moment, she comes out of the house. See how God planned the drama for you and for me. Here she comes. And so Eliezer turned to Rebekah. Wilt thou come with me, go with me to become the bride of Isaac, my master Abraham's son? What did Rebekah say? Ah, there was decision, friends. There is our lesson. Lesson for us at all times. What did Rebekah say? Oh, I think you'll have to wait a while. Eliezer ought to wait a couple of weeks. I think I better get myself a cedar chest. Ought to get a new robe. How about Saturday night permanent? Oh, my dearly beloved, what did Rebekah say? I will go. Then came the jewels. She made a decision. You've made a decision. Then came the jewels and the robe. Little Rebekah, you can take off that calico dress now. Look, 10 camels laden with robes and jewels are all yours. See how rich she became suddenly because she made a decision. Put a bracelet upon her hand, consecrated to Abraham. Abraham typified our Heavenly Father. Remember, there was only one Abraham and there's one God. Remember, there's only one Isaac and there's one Master, the Lord Jesus. Remember, there's only one Rebekah and therefore only one bride, the new creation. Now, Rebekah, because she said, I will go, she became very, very rich, didn't she? Yes, indeed. And so we too have become very rich, friends. The Lord has covered us with the robe of Christ's righteousness, decked us with the garments of salvation, a jewel sealed us in the forehead. There's the jewel on your forehead, friends. Oh, how rich we are. Wouldn't those holy angels be glad to come down to Brooklyn, to this territory and take your place? Yes, brethren, I believe they would. But God never offered it to the holy angels. He's passed them all by, hasn't he? Passed by the cherubim, seraphims, principalities, and powers. Passed by the great men and the wise men and the chief captains of this earth. Passed by all the spiritual leaders and selected little you and little me. You see how rich we are? Ah, yes, very, very rich, aren't we? And as we walk through this earth, remember, we're his ambassadors.
were wearing the robe of Christ's righteousness. Now could Rebekah return with Eliezer to Father Abraham? No, not yet. Not yet. Let us carry the picture through, friends. No, no, not yet. Not until the benediction was given, the prayer was offered. And who did it? Ah, there was Laban, her brother, and Bethuel. Can you see them? Can you visualize? I'd love to see Rebekah. Now, how beautiful she must have looked. Standing there, they lifted up their hands and they said, Rebekah, be thou the mother of thousands of millions. How could that girl, perhaps 17 years old, be the mother of thousands of millions, that virgin? No, she was an allegory. She pictured you in glory. She pictured the new creation in glory. That'll be the mother, the nurse, the blesser of the thousands of millions that sleep in the dust of the earth. Right. Now she could ride the camels. And she rode the 10 camels, your Bible says, in the 24th chapter of Genesis. They were her possession. Right? Of course it's right. And after a long, long journey over that desert, oh yes, must have been hot. Sun beating down upon her and only a girl. Wouldn't you think she'd alight the camels and want to go back home to her mother? No, that would spoil God's drama. Friends, she remained on the camels in that hot sun. To the very end, how about us? Let us too, friends, go over the desert of persecution that may come to the very end, as little Rebekah did. And then it was eventide. Evening, almost night. And what happened? There was a man meditating in the field in the eventide. Who's that? Who's that? That's Isaac, your future husband. Can you see Rebekah reaching down in one of her bags, pulling out a long Bible veil? It covered her, your Bible says. It covered her. Then she alighted the camel. And there was Isaac by her side. Where was Isaac? Meditating in the field in the eventide. What's the field of the world? Who's Isaac represent? Christ. What does it picture? The presence of Christ waiting for his bride. They shall be mine, said the Lord, in that day when I make up my jewels. But there was a veil between them. Wasn't there? There's a veil between us, too. What's the veil? The flesh. Passed beyond the flesh and caught up in the air with the Lord. Right? That's right. Can you see Isaac taking Rebekah over there into Keturah's tent? Oh, no, no. Not Keturah's tent. Why? There was no Keturah yet. No, no, Abram hadn't married Keturah yet. Well, didn't Isaac take Rebekah into Hagar's tent? Oh, no, no. No, that upset the entire plan of God. Hagar represented the law covenant. Keturah represented the new covenant. But you see, Eliezer, picturing the Holy Spirit, instructed these things, no doubt. And see, Isaac takes Rebekah into his mother Sarah's tent. Sarah was dead. Later on, Abraham married Keturah. What a picture. What a lesson. Have we decided to keep this drama? Don't let anyone change it for you. Be displeasing to God. Be displeasing to God to change that drama. They were united in marriage in Sarah's tent. Sarah covenant. Sacrificial. Part of the Abrahamic covenant. Then, friends, after that, Abraham married and had many children, picturing the new covenant. I call this to mind this afternoon. You've heard it often, no doubt. But on account of Rebecca's decision, and because of that decision she made, she becomes, in figure, the blesser of all the nations and the families of the earth. And because of your decision and my decision, my dearly beloved, we too will be heirs with Christ Jesus in blessing all of the nations and the families of the earth. I'm calling to mind a thought in the 119th Psalm, beginning with the 97th verse. O Lord, oh how I love thy law, it is my meditation all of the day. God's law, his word. That through then mine enemies. Yes, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. The wisdom of this world shall perish. It's perishing today. Where is the wisdom in continental Europe now, with all their art and their science and their learning and their culture? It's gone. Spells barbarism, the antithesis to civilization. Can't you see that, friends? You have the truth, you have the wisdom that comes down from above. And I have more understanding than all the teachers. For thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients. The ancient worthies, you do. You do, Rebecca Class. You understand more than the ancient worthies. Why? The ancient worthies were not spiritual. They were natural men and natural women. The ancient worthies didn't understand the mystery of God. It was not given to them. It's given to you. Given to you, and you understand, therefore, spiritual things. You understand more than these men did. They said, I wrote, but I understood not. But you do. Here it's given, back in the sounds. Why, I have not departed from thy judgment. For God, thou hast taught me, and thou hast taught you too. He's taught you, teaching you every day. Teaching us constantly. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Taste. Every experience we taste, don't we? Every experience of life. And each experience is worth a million. We're tasting to see that God is good. He always brings us out of every experience, don't he? Then we can say, how good. How good. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. That should be your motto, my motto. The ways of men, the ways of these 250 princes, look out! Look out, friends, we've decided to walk in the steps of Jesus. We've decided to do his will. Now, if you allow me another moment, I have something that our dear pastor gave us that I'd like to read on this. About Ruth. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. What a decision. What a lesson for us. Listen to what a pastor said. The positiveness with which Ruth made her decision. She made a decision, friends, and it was positive. It was a decision unto death. In this respect, all true conversions are alike. The Christian, for instance, did not really become a Christian until he made just such a definite decision as Ruth made. Is that right? It's positive consecration. And this consecration of himself or herself means to leave the world
its affairs, its loves, its hopes, and ambition, and to spend and be spent even unto death in the service of the Lord. The value of positive decision in respects to life we can hardly overestimate. Thousands of lives are blighted because of a lack of decision. Reprint, 1915, page 24. I pray, friends, that you've received a blessing. May the Lord add his blessing. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Zainal, for that inspiring message. Now shall we conclude this part of the service? Use of number 217. Number 217. Next service with the use of hymn number 257. Let's sing it all. While we're singing with those parents and children who wish to dedicate their children at this service, occupy the front seats here, please. Brother Zainal will give a few words of explanation of what it is, and during these remarks or after his remarks, if you want to take advantage of this opportunity, why, feel free to come forward at that time. You don't necessarily have to come forward now. We're not especially urging this service upon any. There may be opportunities later if you've had a chance to think it over, finding out just what it is. But if you wish to take advantage of that opportunity, I feel most welcome to come forward at this time. Number 257.
Thank you.
Brother Zainal is well versed in the accepted form for this service, so we'll simply turn the meeting over to him at this time.
I have a little outline here that I used back in Brother Russell's day, and we continued this at every convention until about 1920. And then, of course, it was all upset, taken away. But I believe the service, friends, is essential, as you will see. You'll find this in three reprint articles, if you wish to put them down. Reprint 1671, 4862, 4091. And the two scriptures I wish to use, found in Luke 18 and 15, Mark 9, 36. Now, my dearly beloved in the Lord, this service is for the purpose of consecrated parents to dedicate their children publicly before God. In Luke 18:15, the diaclet rendering, we read, "And they brought to him the Lord Jesus." Mark 9:36. Now, my dearly beloved in the Lord, this service is for the purpose of consecrated parents to dedicate their children publicly before God. In Luke 18:15, the diaclet rendering, we read, "And they brought to him," the Lord Jesus, "their infants also." Infants too. Not to be sprinkled, not to be baptized. Oh, what a mistake has been made. No, no. "And they brought to him their infants also, that he," Jesus, "might touch them. But the disciples, seeing it, rebuked them." Who? The parents. Told them not to do it. But listen now to the words of Jesus. "But Jesus, calling them unto him with their infants and their children," these parents, "permit the little children to come to me and forbid them not." What right would any disciple have to forbid any parents to bring their children?